Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Deeper Truth presents Freedom Is Not Free. We look at politics from every conceivable angle.
The one on the right was on the left, and the one in the middle was on the right, and the one on the left was in the middle, and the guy in the rear was a Methodist.
This freewheeling discussion highlights the accomplishments of many who are working to save America.
The guy on his rear said, oh dear.
Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, and his team host this fast-moving review, along with guest commentator Kansas Representative Bill Sutton, provide thoughtful analysis of where America stands, whether in the crossroads or the crosshairs. To join the conversation, call 646-595-2071, 646-595-2071, and remember, freedom is not free.
And the guy in the rear burned his driver's license.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. Freedom isn't free, America. Freedom always comes at a high price. And that's Pope St. John Paul II in his writing on our pilgrimage to eternity. And that's what we stand for here in the Catholic Church. And I've got Representative Sutton. He will be here in just a few moments. He is hurriedly on his way home, and so I'll be calling him in for a second. I do have Mike from New Jersey. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, doing fantastic. How about yourself?
Oh, man. Because of this change of weather, it's going crazy. I've been dealing with a cold as a result of that. And we got Doc from Tennessee.
Hello, Doc.
Hey, y'all. How we doing today?
Hey, Doc.
Yeah.
Well, we're winning the battle.
Yeah, that's it, man.
We're winning the battle. Yeah, keep fighting, man. Stay in the game.
Geronimo, baby. Geronimo.
Geronimo. Yes.
That's it.
When I was down in San Antonio, I was down where he was placed. He was in a tower, kind of being held as a prisoner. And they had a window up there that was like three stories high. And that's where this whole idea about Geronimo, you know.
Right.
Yep.
That's just a little cry, man.
Ooh. Mike, is it kind of cold up there in New Jersey?
Oh, it's freezing. I was so tempted to call a Democrat because they got plenty of hot air to spare.
Ah, funny.
Well, I've been calling old Al Gore and asking him where's all this global warming I keep hearing about. My heat bill's saying it ain't warm.
Wow!
Yeah, the last blizzard, I shoveled several pounds of global warming out my driveway.
Yeah, I'm still recovering from the last freeze we got. I got to fix the pipes and stuff. I haven't really been focusing on it. Just got to make a job of it.
Wow. Well, Doc, maybe it's that storm that's hit over there in New Jersey that's got Mike kind of just snowed in a little bit. Maybe that's why you didn't get your back brace until today, huh?
Yeah, maybe. I only broke my back in June, and the VA, June of last year, and the VA said they were going to send me a back brace, and I got it this afternoon. June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January. Only 7 months.
Yeah.
Gotta love that socialized medicine. I'm surprised they sent it at all, to be perfectly honest. I forgot they were going to send it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll wear it. And I got it on now.
Well,
it does help. It does give my back a lot more support.
More stability.
I had a CAT scan that said it looked like a Jenga set.
Wow.
But I can wiggle my toes, baby. I can wiggle my toes. That's all it counts.
Yeah. Do your feet, do your toes, do they feel numb, or you got some good feeling?
Oh, I got plenty of feeling. They hurt all the time. I mean, you know, the first day of basic training, I shattered 3 bones in my right or left foot and then got up and ran a mile in under 8 minutes. Foot's never been right since. When Florida was on fire about some odd 30-odd years ago, I hyperextended my knees running from the swarm pissed off Yellow Jacket. I hyperextended my left knee. I hyperextended my right knee and shattered it in 15 places and twisted my ankle and heel when I was a kid. So, yeah, my legs have been... I got titanium rod and steel plate in the left leg for in 2016 when the osteoporosis finally caused my leg to collapse. I broke under my own weight. And then,
well, Reverend,
since then, I broke the arm and the back. So,
well, Representative Sutton said he, you know, give him about 10 minutes. So I'm going to give him a call just to see if that's close enough. Let's see. If you hear the bell, hear the phone ring. We'll see.
He probably just pulled in now.
2 ringy dingies.
Yeah, I remember that.
Ring, who said that? Whoa, come on now, who is that?
Might be just a little short soon.
What's the tone?
All right. Well, he may be getting out of the car and getting ready to get in the house.
That's what I would think.
Please leave your message for 9134881665.
I didn't mean for that to happen. Oh, well, that'd be interesting. Wow.
Okay. Well, I mean, give him a minute.
So what does Tennessee like right now?
Like 8 months ago. What?
Is Tennessee pretty much kind of like in the 50s, you know, kind of nice, not too bad?
It was 34 when I left this morning. And it got, I think, as high as the mid-50s. It was cold all day, but it was working weather. It was kind of weather you want to go out, maybe like, I don't play football, but like football weather, you know? So it was good. I mean, went out to the country,
wow.
Helped a friend of mine. And spotted a whole bunch of deer.
Some deer.
Yeah, they know deer season. They must know deer season has ended because they're all over the place now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go for it. Here we go. Hell, Mike, you got your ringy dingy? Let's see if he...
This is Bill.
Maybe.
Hey, here I am.
Yes, there.
Here I am. Yes, I am.
Outstanding.
I don't know if any of you guys noticed, there might have been a football game this evening that half the country was paying attention to. I don't know if you saw that or not.
No.
Kansas City and
That's the one.
Okay, the Chiefs and the Jacksonville.
That's right, and the Chiefs did indeed win that.
Yeah, and Mahomes, there was just a little bit of a scare because he kind of got hurt in it. And so apparently he came back, though, and we'll see how sore he's going to be the next week.
Yeah, it looks like they're dealing with a high ankle sprain, it looks like.
I think it was the wrong side of the ankle. I think it was the wrong side, so hopefully it won't be so bad. They did x-rays, and they found it to be negative, so hopefully he'll be fine. He did come back out there. He just didn't have the mobility that he normally does.
Oh, yeah, he has his foot taped solid, his ankle.
Yeah.
His ankle taped solid.
Yeah. But I'm sure he's going to be going through some, physical therapy coming up this week.
Oh, you betcha.
Now, Bill, there's been this uproar over Biden's documents as it continues to grow. And so what do you think
about
that? What do you think about that?
Well, what do I think of it? Well, I'm wondering where all we're going to find these documents, because, I mean, they were complaining about Donald Trump having documents like 3 months after he left office, and as near as I can tell, he's had them in his garage hiding behind his Corvette for the last 6 years. What the heck's going on with that?
Yeah, the office University of Pennsylvania. There's been about four or five different places he had records.
Oh, yeah, they were everywhere.
I wonder where the raids are. Why are the FBI agents not kicking down doors?
I don't know. We need to kick down some doors on this, I think.
Yeah.
I think so, too. And
turn off a few security
GOP. And the GOP, they're calling for Santos to resign. The Republicans in the district representative. Excuse me.
You know, that one.
Represented by the disgraced lawmaker said. Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, can the House ask him to? Sure. Does he have to? I don't think so. And the whole thing is kind of moot anyway, because if he resigns, then the folks back home get to pick his replacement, and it's partisan selection. So I mean, we'll be fine either way on that one. But I don't think he committed a crime. It's pretty poor form, no doubt about it. I mean, it's
what did he do? What did he do?
He completely made up his entire resume.
Yeah.
Say again.
He made up his entire resume, both his education, his work history, you name it. It was all fiction.
And who is he?
He's a U.S. rep, Santos.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, not good form by any means, but I'm not sure it rises to the. It's certainly not a crime.
Isn't that fraud?
What are you saying back there? I can't hear you.
Is that fraud?
Is that fraud? I don't know if that actually rises to fraud, because it didn't actually. Well, I mean, yeah, it probably could be classed as fraud.
Well, he's been disgraced. He disgraced the House of Representatives, and they do not consider him one of our congressional people. Yeah. And after a campaign of deceit, lies, and fabrication, Carroll said, "I am calling for his immediate resignation." So they're calling for his resignation. And so.
Well, they can call for it, but I think it would have to be voluntary, because I don't think there's any way to. There's any mechanism in place to forcibly remove him.
Not for that. Well, I think it would have to be his decision. And I could be mistaken on that. But we had some fellas in Kansas that we wanted to have removed because they were absolute shysters. And the fact was that now this one was a little bit different because in Kansas the voters knew what they were voting for and voted for him anyway. And then, you know, the rest of the state looked at it and said, "Wow, that's terrible." But the voters had voted. The things that this person had done were prior to the election. Everybody knew about it. It wasn't a secret. This one is different in that the voters were misled as to his entire resume.
He lied.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
the New York State Conservative Party chairman Gerard Kessar separately called on Santos on Wednesday to resign, saying the lawmakers' profound use of mistruth as a candidate morally disqualifies him from serving in office, public office, and exposes him to legal peril.
Well, I'd have to see. I don't disagree. I'm just not sure that the legal mechanism is there.
And who's he a representative for?
Where is he from? Is he New York?
New York. There you go. Nothing surprises me out of that.
I'm going to look it up and I think it's New York.
Chicago, I think you had the mayor that was addicted to crack, back in the day, and he got reelected. It boggles my mind how these people get in power and then stay in power.
Well, he's a third district. He's in the third district, New York.
Okay. Well, nothing surprises me out of New York anymore.
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot more on this guy that I think is going to be even more surprising. But... who knows on that, it's going to be a matter of, I think it's going to be a matter of his, that he has to make that decision, because I'm not sure the legal mechanism is in place to forcibly remove it.
Well, what about like a recall voter there and I find out this guy's a total fraud, I'd be pissed if I voted for him.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
and they could absolutely do a recall. His voters, his voters could do that. People from outside, I don't believe have that mechanism.
Well, that would surprise me if they did it and actually pulled it off.
That would be fun to see. I'd be good to see.
Yeah. McCarthy told reporters Wednesday that Santos should not be seated on any top committee.
Now, that he does have the authority to do. That mechanism is there. He does have that authority.
Yeah, McCarthy did not say that he should resign. However, many rank-and-file House Republicans said they were troubled by the Santos disclosures, but felt the House Ethics Committee should do its work. And so...
their hands may be a little bit tied.
Seems like this is kind of that's the big news for this week anyway, it seems like, other than Biden's records, you know.
The continuing free fall of that. Yeah, that's just a disaster that keeps on growing. I can't believe that.
You know, if any of us in the while we were in the service had done what they're accused of doing, we would be probably still behind bars.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No one would remember our name.
Either that or promoted to general. Yeah, we like the cut of your jib, boy. Come here. Yeah, you remember the Alice's restaurant? I want to kill. Come with me.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean, you can get promoted so easy. All you got to do is come up with a plan to destroy America more, and they'll give you bars. That's the way it seems. I pray for them. And I'll tell you what, they're going to be a reckoning.
Well, here's something that I think is interesting. With the White House,
what's that?
Said were found in a locked closet in the University of Pennsylvania's Biden Center for Diplomacy and Global Engagement in Washington, together with speculation and conspiracy theories stemming from the fact that the university's writ large has received donations over the years from donors in China.
That's the big deal. We got the CCP having access to the office where he had confidential documents.
Yeah.
But he takes this seriously. He told me so. He takes this seriously.
Oh, I bet he does. But he takes it a lot more seriously now that the word's out.
Oh, bet he does.
You can't honestly say you're surprised that China has had influence over Biden and we're finding out now.
Oh, yeah.
Really,
no,
I mean,
not at all.
Really a surprise?
Not even a little bit.
So the question is, now that we know this, are we going to do something about it? Because, it comes down to this. If you're being bullied by somebody, and you know you're being bullied by them, you got two choices. Continue to be bullied or put a stop to it. So what are we going to do? Because it ain't going to get better on its own. There needs decisive action.
I agree, but I'm not at all sure that we've got a deep state that is in any mood to do so. And this would be kind of an Okay, who do you propose?
Go ahead.
Who do you propose?
I agree.
I agree. We need to take a firm stand. I agree with that. But the CIA, FBI, DOJ, no, they're not going to do it.
No, they're not. They, as far as they're concerned, things are going just the way they like it.
Exactly.
What we need is the sheriff's offices in this country to start signing out some warrants. The U.S., the sheriff, the United States Sheriff's Office is the most powerful law enforcement agency in this country. They are the real law. City police, I read something recently. I haven't verified it, but I read something that when we joined World War II, our city police actually came under the charter of the UN. And the sheriff's office, that's why you see these gun confiscations and everything like that. It's always city police. And if they come to get your guns, you call the sheriff's office. They'll come and stop them. Because the sheriff swore an oath to the Constitution. City cops don't. Not that I know of. They're not following their oath if they did.
They don't have constitutional authority. True, sheriffs do. However, it's going to fall into the jurisdiction of whatever sheriff in which it
right.
takes
that,
out.
Oh, I agree. I agree. So the sheriff in these areas where we know we got corruption, they need to grow a spine. They need to get some righteous masculinity and do what their oath requires them to do. And every day that they don't, they're showing, they're showing complicity. And I tell you, if you're complicit of a crime, you're as guilty as doing the crime, period.
Well, the amount was $54 million that the Biden think tank received from China. And that's a lot of money. This is what Trump is saying. Trump is saying they saw the classified documents Trump posts on his social website. And so I think that's interesting. Very important.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's a huge deal.
That is a big deal. And we need, you know, we need some constables. That's what we need, real constables.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening, I agree with you.
Yeah, there's a publication. Once upon a time, it was called a conspiracy theory. Now it's a history book. It's called Operation Vampire Killer 2000. It came out, I think, in the early 70s, and it talked about things that were going to happen. And I read it, and I was like, okay, yeah, conspiracy, yada, yada. Put it down. 30 years later, I picked it up and read it again, and I'll be like, I'll be damned. It was written by police, for police and National Guard, and I don't know who these people that were that wrote it, but they were in the know. They knew of things. They named dates, or they named names, and they dropped dates. They were just off, I think, by 20 years. We pushed them back a little bit. We did some things that they didn't see coming from our side. We mapped out what they were doing on their side.
This was a book?
Pardon me? It's a pamphlet. It's about 50 pages. You can find it online. Don't go to Google. DuckDuckGo, you might be able to get it. It's Operation Vampire Killer 2000.
Vampire Killer, you said?
Vampire Killer, and I know it sounds like a horror movie, but they're talking about the vampires that are sucking the government dry, taking the lifeblood out of our government. But it's a good publication. And if you read it, you'll understand why law enforcement is doing what they're doing. I was really taken aback. My father-in-law gave it to me, God rest his soul. He was a Marine sniper. He fought in Dodge City in Vietnam. And he was in the know of a lot of things, and he gave it to me to read. And like I said, I read it, and, you know, he spotted out about a lot of different things that, apparently he was right, because a lot of it comes through. And this was one of the things. You know, I put it up there with AA 1025 as well. That was another conspiracy turned history book.
Yeah. Some of these conspiracies aren't all that conspiracy anymore, are they?
Not when they happen, then it's history. You know,
exactly.
I mean... you know, I don't want to use the word prophet. We don't hear a lot of prophets nowadays. Now they're called conspiracy theorists. I mean, when it happens, what do you do? Okay, this person's been telling me this for years, and here it is. Now what? You know, maybe we should listen to a couple of these nut jobs.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, you know.
Oh, I think you got something there.
Yeah, apparently they knew what they were doing.
But did you all hear about the story of the USS Grayback submarine lost after
decades just come up out of the ocean.
No,
since late March of 1944, yes, USS Grayback, also known as SS 208, disappeared with, you know, and it just resubmerged. And
They went and got it, or it came up on its own?
What? It came up on its own.
Oh, my Lord. That's crazy. Can you imagine being the first person to go in there? That would be eerie.
That would be eerie, no doubt about that.
Oh, man. It's something you would want to do, but not really. I would do it, but, oh, man, I'd have to say a rosary first.
Oh, yeah, or two. Ooh. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah,
oh,
that'd be
man.
Weird.
So how long has it been missing?
75 years at least. About,
oh, my
decades.
Lord. 75 years. Yeah, that's one for the book. They're going to make
that
donations
80 hands.
About that.
There
now,
were 80 hands on deck.
On it?
Were the crew on it?
Yeah, the crew was
dead.
There, but
believe
they
were. Dead.
I don't know.
You know what probably happened? There was probably a shift. The skeleton fell over and landed on the ballast button, and it released the ballast, and the thing went up.
Yeah.
Well, the sub
That's
had
crazy.
Managed to sink. They sank two Japanese ships. And after all that action,
man,
the Grayback had to be resupplied, and you know, pretty soon. And after carrying so many attacks, the submarine had only two torpedoes left, and was therefore set to sail into the North Pacific in order to get some more supplies. You'll see just how worried the crew was when they finally realized that something was awfully wrong.
That's crazy. That's like something out of Twilight Zone, dude.
That is. I think I saw this horror movie, actually.
75 years.
So has anybody, obviously someone's been on the ship since it's returned. Have heard anything from
you? Got anything else on it, Doc?
It just returned, so that's I'm looking to see.
I really want to know more about this. This is kind of very strange.
Yeah, I'm in awe, man. 75 years, man.
It says the Grayback submerged it reached about 300 feet from stem to stem, and weighed about 2,410 tons, and the submarine had reached more than 12,500 miles during its time serving the Army.
Wow!
And so.
Yeah, that does sound like something out of the Twilight Zone.
That's crazy.
They got a pic.
Might like that.
Yeah.
It's
called
several
tests. And a thorough analysis of its capabilities, Grayback was released 10 months after it had started being built. In 1941, the submarine had become the property of the U.S. Navy. Excuse me. And just after Pearl Harbor was attacked by the Japanese, once it was commissioned, Grayback was taken under the control of Lieutenant William A. Sanders and sent to Long Island, and that's where it started.
And when do they have listed there when it went missing? Obviously after 1941.
Yeah, it was after 1941. But I'm trying to find out. It just resubmerged is what it did after it had been sunk or after it was underwater.
What is that? How does that happen? I'm just baffled by this whole story. This is fascinating.
I mean, I think, like I said, it probably was under the water. Something shifted, tectonic plate action or whatever. Something moved, hit a button, released something, and up it goes. Because that's what the submarines, they got those ballast chambers, right? It's compressed air, and they fill the ballast tanks, and it goes up, right?
Yep.
That's the only thing that would make sense.
It is.
What's really weird, when it submerged.
What did it?
When it submerged.
What?
It looks like on top of it, when it came up, it brought up with it a missile just sitting up on top of it.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a missile sitting right up on top of it. And it's just sitting there.
It's there.
Yeah. So when it resubmerged, I guess it just happened to brought this missile back up with it.
Wow. This is getting more and more weird.
Was it one of our missiles?
I'm trying to see. Well, it says on it, it says Navy with an America.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like something like with a wire.
They didn't have missiles when that ship went missing. We didn't have missiles in 41.
Well, no, this is an updated one. Yeah. Yeah, this is obviously an updated one.
So the missile landed on it, and it knocked it loose, and the ballast tank got, and it came up.
It could be, but it looks like that the missile was it was in perfect intact.
What year was the missile from?
Well, it looks like it's fairly recent.
This is bizarre.
One of them shot. The missile probably misfired and landed on it, didn't explode, landed on it, knocked something loose inside, caused the ballast tanks to go up, and up it goes into the top. Bob's your uncle. There it is. That's the only thing that explains that. I mean, first off, they didn't have missiles in 41. They came after 41. They came after World War II. When we hired all the Nazi scientists, Operation Paperclip, brought them over here, gave them cushy jobs, and let them pollute our school systems with their social ideology there. And boom. So that's where missiles came later. So if a missile's on this sub, how did it get there? That's why I want to know, is it a new missile? Is somebody missing a missile?
Wow.
That's the question. Where did the missile come from? We need to check the inventory?
They have a picture where they found where the submarine was submerged. It said curiously, the U.S. Navy officials ended up finding out that Grayback wasn't actually located where it was believed to be in the beginning. Even worse, it was very far from the initial assumption. So it came out and resubmerged, totally out there where they had no idea.
You ever see that movie Clockwork Orange where that aircraft carrier went through time?
Oh, that was Manhattan Project.
Huh?
That was Manhattan Project, right?
Yeah, the Manhattan Project.
Yeah, Clockwork Orange is where people with croquet mallets. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was a weird movie. That really was.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah. I like that one a lot.
But, I mean, this is just bizarre because you got things from different timelines coalescing here. Yeah, this, wow.
Yeah, this is bizarre stuff. This is, we've gone from Twilight Zone to In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, no kidding, man. God rest his soul. This is wild, man.
I definitely want to find out more about that because that's fascinating.
Remember, folks, you heard it here first.
That's it.
The outer limits. that's crazy.
That is nuts. I like that.
You know what would be cool? As if it had the name of Trump on it, but I don't see nothing like that on there.
Oh, he'd be in so much trouble.
Or if it had some top secret documents on it.
Yeah, really. Maybe Biden's got something in there.
That's why it reached
got everywhere else.
Well, yes,
they're looking around in that basement for them. You know?
That's why it resubmerged. Emerged. That's why it emerged was to get all the top secret documents back together again.
I guess.
Goofiness.
That's crazy.
I do want to find out more about that, especially about the missile.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to keep an inventory on them.
Yeah.
So if one's on the bottom of the ocean on top of a submarine that's been missing for 70 years, I think somebody's got some explaining to do.
Yeah. We shouldn't be surprised by a missile, okay? We should know that there's one down there.
We should know where they're at.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If anything, we should know where our missiles are. Yeah. I mean, can y'all agree with me on that one?
I agree.
I mean, did you think somebody would answer that question?
They got a picture. They got
Do you
a
know
picture.
Where your missiles
They got
are.
A picture of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was one of the first photos of the USS Grayback under 1,400. Feet, 1,400 feet of water after it was discovered off the Okinawa coast on June 5th, 2019. And the sub was last heard from in February 1944 until, of course, when it recently resurfaced.
And they got it in tow now, right? Or they got it mooring somewhere? I mean, it didn't sink back down, right? They got a hold of it.
I guess so.
That's incredible. Wow.
That's a heck of a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mind is just going 1,000 miles an hour with different scenarios and possibilities. And the missile, that's your red herring right there. This is like the greatest spy novel ever written. Holy mackerel.
Well, who knows? Biden may have to call in his superhero. Biden may have to call in his superhero.
Here I come, save the day.
Nah, you need Aquaman on this one.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
This is Aquaman here. Holy mackerel. submarine
missile.
I've
never heard of something like this.
Modern missile on top of it.
Sounds like a
Did
story
it say
for
the
Bermuda Triangle.
Was it a nuclear missile?
No, this is World War II. I don't think there would have been a nuclear warhead on it. I don't think.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Don. They didn't have missiles in World War II. If it's got a missile on it, it's post-World War II. That missile shouldn't be there.
It looks like it's brand new.
See, that's what kind of missile is that? Is it a Trident?
It's
white. Is it a Patriot?
No, it looked like it, from what it looks like when I saw the picture, it looked like it was just maybe in the ocean, and when the submarine was resubmerging, it just happened to be just like picking it up and taking it up with it. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, that's like one in a billion, trillion chances.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah.
Is it 20 feet, 10 feet? It all depends. I mean, what year was that missile made? I'm going to be up all night over this. Thanks, Don.
I'm over here Google searching myself over here. Yeah, this is good stuff.
Yeah, submarine that resubmerges.
Yeah, that's neat.
Y'all have to send me a link to that or something. I'll try and find it if I can get in front of a computer. I'll tell my wife to look it up. That's crazy.
I found some stuff about it. You mentioned the missile. The missile part I want to find out about.
Yeah, because I'm just curious what type of missile it was.
Exactly.
I mean, because
it
may
looks
have
like
been
modern.
A U.S. I mean, it could have been a U.S. experimental missile on the sub. You know, maybe one of first attempts at launching missiles off a sub.
No, this was a relatively new, looked like a jet missile type thing.
Wow.
And it was just, I mean, it looked like it was clean. Not like something that's been underwater since World War II.
Well, if it's off the coast of Okinawa, that's one of them that the North Korea has been shooting out.
I think it fell off a jet and maybe a dud or a practice missile, and it landed on a sub, broke it loose. And it floated up. That's the only thing that makes sense.
I like it. I like the story. Kind of tied up all the loose ends. I like that.
Does that make sense? I mean, that's a plausible explanation. Wow. Holy mackerel.
What did you find? What did you find, Bill?
Well, no. All I found was finding the location of it, and I haven't done a deep dive into this thing. See what I did there? But I haven't done a deep dive into it. But I haven't mentioned the missile. That's the part that I'm most curious about.
Well, I'm looking for that picture again. Let me see if I can.
Are you guys planning on being in Atlanta anytime soon? Antifa's trying
I think that Cincinnati's going to beat the Bills, I think.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about Antifa to burn down it.
Antifa did what?
They're trying to burn down Atlanta even as we speak, folks.
Crazy. While we're talking about sports, I want to talk about the Russian who refuse to go along with the gay agenda for religious beliefs.
Yeah.
I want to give that man a salute.
Absolutely. He was what was that? Russian Orthodox.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that was righteous masculinity at its finest. That man deserves a salute. And you know what? You're talking about it took a Russian to step up for religious freedom and religious rights. Where are the men in this country? This is why I don't like sports. You guys are all bought and paid for. Your commodities. I got nothing for you.
You get off my Chiefs, man. I have a problem.
That was probably.
Oh, man, I don't.
Our defense played. Really.
I'm sorry, man. I don't do tennis.
Well, I thought you was more into golf.
I'd play chess. Now there's a sport.
That's a sport. I'm a big fan.
Man, I'll get my heart rate going about 140 beats a minute playing a good game of chess. I got to fight to keep my knees from shaking.
You got to breathe deep. You got to keep your blood pressure low so your brain functions.
You got to keep your composure. Move it. Please move it. I dare you to take it.
I had an intern one time ask me, what class should I take? How should I prepare if I wanted to get into a life of politics, if I were to serve in the legislature, what would be the best skills I should develop? And I learned to play poker well, learned to play chess well. Those are the things that you need. And everything else, you'll pick it up along the way. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he nailed that right.
Right.
When I was younger, I played a lot. And I walked into this truck stop. I was traveling cross country, and I saw these guys playing chess for money. And I didn't have any cash, but the driver told him, finance me. You won't regret it. We walked out of there with about $400.
There you go.
You know, I mean, yeah. Now, I can't play like that anymore. I can't play like that anymore. You don't use it, you lose it. But there was a time,
just like any other muscle
on chessboard. Yeah, I need to start playing again.
My daughter came home from school. This was, she's 32 now. She was in seventh grade. She came to me and said, we're going to have a chess tournament at school. And I said, okay, you want to play in it? She said, yeah, but I don't know how to play. I said, sit down. We're going to learn. Watch this. So she had about a week before this tournament took place, and we didn't go batshit on it, but we played a couple hours a night, you know, until the tournament came around. The day of the tournament, she comes home and she is pissed at me, and I'm like, what did I do? I don't get it. You know, how did the tournament go? She said it went fine. They all think I'm a nerd. And I said, what do you mean they think you're a nerd? She said, oh, I won, and I stomped the hell out of everybody.
There you go. Uh-huh.
But, man, she was mad about that at the time. She's forgiven me since then. But, she was mad at the time. They were calling her a nerd.
Yeah, but guess what? The smart guys started asking her out.
Oh, I wish that was true. The smart guys didn't ask her out until much, much later.
Yeah, but they did.
They did eventually.
Oh, yeah.
And she married one eventually. I'm happy about
that.
There
you go. Yeah.
He wasn't in the chess tournament, though. Oh, well.
I I don't know. I liked to play when I was younger. I just don't have the time for it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. My wife and I will sit down and play every once in a while.
Yeah,
and we both enjoy it, but it really turns into more of just a chance to chat, just the two of us with nothing else going on. Really, it doesn't
exactly.
Now there was a guy I grew up with, who he and I would play. In fact, we were roommates at one time in college. And we'd have a game set up all the time. And our schedules were different, but we'd keep the game going. And, you know, when he was there, he'd make a move. When I was there, I'd make a move, you know. So a game
right.
might last 4 days.
Yeah.
But, man, he was a smart guy. He was a sharp
Those
one. He was
the best guy.
He beat me more often than I beat him. I'll tell you what. He was a good one.
Those are the best kind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you win all the time, nobody wants to play with you, first off.
Well, and you're not developing.
Yeah, you're not developing, so it loses its fun. But,
that's what I told the kids. How do you learn to play chess? You lose 100 times. How do you get good at chess? You lose 1,000 times.
Yeah, pretty much. I drove this one guy. I must have played him like 30 games in a row, and he stomped my butt every time. And I kept setting him up, and finally he just got up and walked away. He said, you can't beat me, kid. I said, yeah, but every time I play you, I learn something new.
That's it. I will.
And then he said, okay, one more. I mean, yeah, you know, for me, it was never, especially in the beginning, it wasn't never about the winning. It was about the intricate moves and the patterns that you could do with the pieces. And for me, they came alive, and it was almost like that. You see the Alice in Wonderland, the chess pieces moving around?
That's it. Yeah, it's a movie.
That's the way it was on the board. And I could actually picture multiple games at one time. When I was young, I can't do that anymore. But, yeah, I won several tournaments, but it got to a point where no one wanted to play with me. And you know, it wasn't about winning and losing for me. It was, you know, what kind of strategy works and what's accounting for that strategy. And, you know, anyway, I miss it.
Yep. In fact, you're convincing me I need to pull the board back out. I haven't played in a while.
I'm thinking about it too. I've got several. I've got a Pirates of Caribbean board. I've got an Aztec board, all soapstone. I've got a Korean board, pieces, all soapstone, hand carved. I've been collecting them for years. I've got several sets.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, they're all tucked away. One day I'd like to have a room where they're all set up.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that'd be neat.
That would be nice. I ain't that kind of rich, though.
But then you could keep, you know, multiple games going simultaneously.
Oh, I did that one time in this park, but that's hard to do.
I agree. I played five games,
and I won three of the five.
Oh, that's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah. I think it was like 12 or 13. Yeah.
That's cool. Now, that's not a skill set I ever developed. I could see the future on one board, and that was it.
And then I played, me and this one guy used to play, we would play the game, and after, I think it was 2 or 5 minutes, we switched sides.
That would be an exercise.
That was, yeah, and you know the switch is coming. So you don't want to sacrifice any pieces, but you don't want to leave yourself vulnerable. and you still got to attack because he's coming at you to kind of get, you know what I mean, because if I take any pieces, I'm not going to have pieces when I'm over there.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? You know, and we set the clock for like every 2 minutes or every minute, it would switch. We had to switch the board. We just spin it around and go.
Oh, shit.
I tell you what, that's a nerve-wracking game.
Yeah, that adds a whole new level of strategy. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the 3D chess is also kind of interesting.
I've never done that. I've never played 3D chess.
I played it once and I lost like within like 6 moves, I think it was.
Oh yeah.
You have to play it a lot, and I don't have a board. That's the one board I don't have. I'm gonna have to get one of those.
That might be neat to get a 3D chess board. I mean, that is about as okay. My daughter being called a nerd for learning chess, that doesn't make sense. Me having a 3D chess board, okay, that's nerd.
Yeah.
Well, Star Trek, they play it on 3 different levels.
Uh-huh.
Think about it, though. How many people do you know that have one? You can make that a centerpiece, man.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think.
My wife would make that a centerpiece.
Huh?
What do you think about this? Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell on Tuesday issued thinly veiled criticism of President Trump for his dinner that he ate for, mashed potatoes and gravy and the steak. So what do you think about that?
Why would you complain about mashed potatoes and a steak?
I have no idea.
I mean, it sounds
like vegan? For you.
That sounds American to me.
Yeah.
How do you complain about that? I don't get it. What's he complaining about?
I don't either. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
It just shows that no matter what Trump does, they're going to complain. No matter what he does.
They're
going to
complain about
he could
steak?
He could eat a McDonald's cheeseburger, and they're going to complain.
Well, okay, no, I'd actually make fun of him for that. But a steak, I'm never going to make fun of him for that.
Here's the thing about all this vegan stuff.
Bullshit,
listening to a guy who deals with, he does a lot of farming. He's quite famous, man. And he pointed out that if you want to kill animals, eat vegan. Because the farmers that grow those vegetables that you're making your fake meat out of have to kill every rodent, every squirrel, every rabbit, every coyote, anything that crawls to get near that to eat it. And any of the animals that feed off of those animals, they have to eliminate them so you can have your tofu salad. And when I heard that, I was like, holy crap, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you do. I go out to the country, and the farmers out there, you know, there are voles, there are rabbits, there are all kinds of things that eat these vegetables, and they go through extraordinary measures to get those fruits and vegetables to your table. And you vegans, you know, the guy who was saying this, he says, I go hunting, I kill a deer, one bolt, one deer, boom, nothing else dies, and I use every part of it. But you have that vegan salad, you kill probably 30, 40, maybe even over 100 animals. And I'm like, holy mackerel.
Yep.
So unless you're growing it yourself, you don't know.
Yeah, we need to probably send Mitch McConnell to the retirement farm.
Yeah, that famous person I was quoting from, that was Mr. Ted Nugent, by the way.
Ah, yes.
Sir.
The Motor City Madman.
Yes, sir. He should run for president.
I'd vote for him.
I would.
I love that man. And I love his guitar
playing,
by the way.
Oh, my God, the Democrats' heads would explode. If he ran for president, the Democrats' head would explode.
Oh, they would. Come especially, on, he could come to a fundraiser and turn it into a concert.
Oh,
hell
God,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hell
come
yeah.
On, Ted, you got to do it. Ted, you got to do it. Anybody listening knows Ted Nugent. Have him call the show.
Get him on
get
here.
Him on
heck
number.
Yeah.
We love to have you. Oh, my God.
Well, cat scratch fever on the presidential trail. I love it.
Yeah, that would be great. Ted Nugent and Cassie Owens.
Ah, yeah, there you go. Oh, that'd be an awesome comparison. That'd be an awesome duo.
Right there. Huh?
How do you vote against that?
Oh, that'd be a rocket.
Awesome.
That'd be rocket fuel, man.
Yeah,
Democrats would lose their mind.
That would be fun.
They'd have nothing to throw at it.
Yeah, what can you do?
Oh, man. I'm going to make some videos. I'm going to put that out. I'm going to call them both. Y'all need to step up.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, we need heroes.
I'm going to write my endorsement mm-hmm. right now.
Yep, we need heroes. Well, there is a Legion of Doom. I hate to tell y'all out there, the Legion of Doom is real. And what we don't have is a Super Friend.
That's it. You're right, man.
Hey, you wanted Ted Nugent?
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. Cat scratch fever.
Oh, yeah. You need to run. I'm Doc, and I enjoy this
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Guys.
I don't want to say that.
We're already at 9 o'clock, guys.
That was my high school theme song, by the way. That was my walk-on music to high school. Cat scratch fever
really?
Right there. Oh, heck yeah.
Mine was run like
I've got Don's theme song. Here's Don's theme song.
All right.
Playoffs bounded, father of the Rangers. Tommy's old now, older than the trees, bigger than the mountains, taller than Drew Brees. Pat Mahomes, take me home to the place we belong. To Miami, take me home at the
house. That's nice. That's nice. I like that.
Hey, Bill, can you get my number from Don?
I'm sorry?
Give me a call. Can you get my number from Don and give me a call?
Yeah, I will. I'll do that.
Okay.
My son just handed me a Applewood smoked infused fireball, which he was joking. He thought it was funny. It actually ended up tasting pretty good, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, you take Fireball, and then he's got a I don't even know what it's called, a chimney, I guess, where you smoke wood, and it infuses that smoke down into the bourbon.
Right.
Yeah, and normally we drink things like Basil Hayden with pecan smoke or something like that. It's very, very nice. But this was Fireball with apple smoke.
Well, now,
bizarre.
Bill and my, this is our theme song here, too, along that.
What do we got? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know my arms going. Go, my arm is going, baby.
Yeah, that's it right there.
That's it. You know my arm was going.
Oh yeah, it was. That's funny. That's awesome.
All right, Mike, I'm going to give you a little heads up here. My walk up song in the Kansas legislature by a band called Sick Puppies. It's called Gunfight. Pull that up sometime. I think you're going to find it amusing. I think you're going to have a good time. Are you back there? I don't hear you.
I'm here. I'm trying to write down
what
you did there.
There you are. Okay. Yeah, we have a new Jumbotron in the legislature. It's not really a Jumbotron, but it's the same technology. And and so we're playing with the fact that we actually have the capacity, even though we don't do it, to have walk-up music for people speaking at the well.
What was that theme song again?
Does it sound kind of like this
something,
one right here?
Something like Puppies?
It's called Sick Puppies. No, the band is Sick Puppies. The song is called Gunfight.
It's the devil wind that blows when
that
there's
is not
hole
it.
In your coat. And December snow is ugly when your
that
boots have
not
come
it.
Apart. And you can't see a bright tomorrow through the darkness of today. And the country isn't pretty when you're hungry.
There you go.
The trail is long and empty when a gunfight's just been won. And another may be waiting beyond the morning sun. But somewhere there's a someplace, a place where I belong. Somewhere a man don't need a gun to tell him right from wrong. And it's a devil wind that blows when there's a hole in your coat. And December.
Yeah, that's not it.
So that was it, huh?
No, the premise of mine is don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Well, I'm listening.
Look for it. We'll deal with it next week.
Okay. I'll find it.
I have no doubt of that. All right, gentlemen, I got to call it a night.
Yeah.
Get my number.
All
give
right.
me a call.
Yeah, I will get it from Don.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Later, man.
Okay.
Sunday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, join John Carpenter for A Journey with Mary, an in-depth look at some of the many places Our Lady has been throughout the world since 40 A.D., came from the Catholic Defender Radio Network. And I heard these voices calling. That's Journey with Mary, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, Sunday nights on the Catholic Defender Radio Network.